Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Global Cancer Symposium 2.0. My name is Nathan Crane. I am the award-winning filmmaker of Cancer, The Integrative Perspective, as well as director of the Health and Healing Club, and your host here at the Global Cancer Symposium. You can learn more about the Health and Healing Club at healthandhealingclub.com, but today I am really excited to bring you Dr. Peter Glidden. We're going to talk about what I'm titling The Natural Approach, a scientifically verified naturopathic approach to healing chronic disease. I'm going to read Dr. Glidden's bio, and then we're going to bring him in and start diving in. Make sure you've got pen and paper, because we're going to cover a lot of information in a short amount of time. And I think what you're going to take away from this could truly benefit you and help impact your life in a positive direction in your journey of healing. So Dr. Peter Glidden is an outspoken advocate of science-based, clinically verified, licensed, and naturopathic medicine. He brings over 30 years of clinical experience educating and supporting patients with natural approaches to reversing chronic disease. He's been a member of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, a member of Naturopathic Medicine Institute, a member of the Massachusetts Society of Naturopathic Physicians, and has been practicing naturopathic medicine since 1992. His website, I highly encourage you to go take a look at, full of incredible resources, verified in naturopathic medicine, is riseupintohealth.com, riseupintohealth.com. Dr. Glidden, thanks so much for joining us.
Nathan, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to stand up anywhere that will allow me to speak about naturopathic medicine, the best kept secret in the 21st century.
I love the work you do. I'm really glad that I found out about you and your great work this past year. I saw you in the docuseries, and I just said, I need to reach out to you and you know, invite you to be a part of the Global Cancer Symposium. The work you do is just truly life-changing. And so, you know, thank you for saying yes. Thank you for being here. And I really want to dive, you know, right into, I know, what is a major specialty and deeper understanding of yours is the differences between naturopathic medicine and medical, maybe a medical conventional approach. So when I'm talking specifically here, when it comes to preventing reversing cancer, what are what you identify as some of the biggest differences between a naturopathic approach versus maybe a medical conventional approach?
Well, it's the same differences that we see applied to any chronic illness or even any acute illness, quite frankly. It doesn't matter if it's cancer or asthma or arthritis or high blood pressure or congestive heart failure or depression or anxiety, infertility, doesn't matter. The philosophy of a system of medicine is extremely important. And I mean, let's be honest, you know, I'm a holist, so I like to put everything in perspective and try to get to the root and start from the beginning. So if you could indulge me a little bit here, I think it would be easier for the listening audience. So first things first, in 1912, Congress granted the American Medical Association exclusive control over who could and who couldn't practice medicine here in the United States. And that was done through the influence of the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, who had skin in that game. So for 108 years now, we have lived inside of a medical monopoly. A medical monopoly which is so vast and overwhelming that most people are not even aware that it exists. Most people have no idea that we don't have a free medical market, but that's simply the fact of the matter. Now, the medical doctors and the pharmaceutical industry have been in exclusive control over the development and delivery of medicine here in the United States, and quite frankly, all industrialized nations since 1912. And you know, listen, thank God for the surgery when it's necessary. Thank God for the sterile technique and insulin, right? A handful of antibiotics. There's a room in the world for that. However, MDs, your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but your medical doctor doesn't practice medicine. Your medical doctor practices allopathic medicine. Medicine is like a big umbrella under which many different disciplines hang, right? There's naturopathic medicine, what I do, homeopathic medicine, chiropractic medicine, acupuncture, Ayurvedic medicine, the oldest system of medicine on planet Earth, and what the MDs practice, allopathic medicine. And they're all different in their philosophies, in their treatment strategies, and quite frankly, in their clinical outcomes. But because of the medical monopoly, most people in the United States and Canada are completely unaware of these distinctions. We have been socialized to believe that the MDs hold the secret decoder ring to all things medical, and everybody else is kind of a back of the bus, MD wannabe, alternative medicine, you know, quack, for lack of a better word. This is the socialization that's been present for over 108 years. And this is the single biggest problem with the delivery of medicine in the 21st century, whether it's regarding cancer or anything else. Lack of a free medical market. We haven't had a free medical market again for 108 years. Now, the MDs, bless their hearts, practicing allopathic medicine, bring to the table a really interesting philosophy of treatment and philosophy of medicine. Allopathic medicine is based on reductionism, which is based on Newtonian physics. So according to reductionism, which MDs are trained in, if it can't be measured, it doesn't exist. So since nobody's ever dissected the soul out of a human body, nor seen it with an MRI or a CT scan or an ultrasound, it doesn't exist. So to the allopathically trained MD, who is in the monopoly right now, who owns the monopoly, the human body is a bag of biochemicals waiting to break. Consciousness itself is a function of biochemistry. And in this worldview, when the death happens, it's lights out, game over. There's no such thing as life after death. Consciousness doesn't exist as separate and distinct from the human body. There's no such thing as God. There's no such thing as heaven. All things metaphysical are a fiction. And this is the philosophy which informs all types of treatment, especially the treatment of cancer, because the MD is trained to believe, again, the body's a bag of biochemicals waiting to break. And when it does break, it's the doctor's job, the MD's job, to manage the symptoms. Now, this is a really interesting aha moment for most people when they think it through like this, right? Think about it. Of all of the illnesses which plague humanity right now, medical doctors do not have a cure for chronic health conditions. High blood pressure isn't cured, it's managed. Heart disease isn't cured, it's managed. Depression isn't cured, it's managed. The only thing that conventionally trained allopathic MDs can cure are bacterial infections. And with antibiotics, and those are even starting to fail now with the rise of antibiotic-resistant bacterial infections. So allopathic medicine is really, really good for trauma care, surgery when it's necessary, and a handful of infectious diseases, because that's the epitome of reductionism. Oh, you have a bullet in your arm, heaven forbid. You know, a reductionist can surgically remove that and keep you from not dying from a secondary infection. It's a beautiful thing. And this is also why the major advances in medicine in the 21st century have been in the field of surgery. But when it comes to chronic disease and cancer, it's an abject failure. And, you know, again, you're welcome to your own opinion, but not your own set of facts. In the United States of America, Alzheimer's is accelerating rapidly. Autism is accelerating rapidly. Conservative estimates say that by the year 2030, one out of every two children in the United States will be autistic. Life expectancy is getting shorter. Arthritis is increasing. Type 2 diabetes is increasing. One third of the adult and childhood population are not just overweight, they're obese. The leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States, medical bills. Well, why is this? Because what's the most expensive type of medicine? It's the one that doesn't attempt to cure anything. Now, you know, again, we need to keep everything in perspective. surgery when it's necessary is really great. Trauma care, really great. Thank God for insulin, a handful of antibiotics, right? But while we have existed inside of the medical monopoly, chronic disease is accelerating. And it's not because of chemtrails. It's not because of 5G cell phone radiation. It's because the only system of medicine which is allowed to in this case, to treat cancer is MD-directed pharmaceutical centrist allopathic medicine because of the medical monopoly, which most people aren't even aware exists. I mean, for goodness sakes, my last little tidbit here. Your medical doctor, your MD, may be the nicest person that God ever created, but they don't know what's best for you. They only know what they've been trained in. And when it comes to cancer, well, for goodness sakes, these people don't even know how to cure heartburn. They can manage it with the little purple pill, but they can't cure it. So how effective do you think they're going to be at curing cancer? And the answer is no. And the reason why cancer is such an abysmal failure is not because it's a difficult, complicated pathology to get on the other side of. It's because allopathic medical philosophy is the wrong dog for that hunt. And we can get into the nuts and bolts of the details of, you know, treatment outcomes here in the United States. But the simple fact of the matter is, cancer treatment by allopathic medicine is an abysmal failure, and it should be discarded and other disciplines looked at. But because of the medical monopoly and the unbelievable largesse and political persuasion of the pharmaceutical industry, I doubt very much that that's going to happen in our lifetime.
I certainly hope it happens in my lifetime. I agree with you. There are a lot of great services that a medical doctor can provide. You know, if I get in a car wreck and my arm gets cut off or I'm bleeding out or something, like, yeah, I want to go to the hospital, I want to go to the ER, I want to get treated by a medical doctor. But when it comes to chronic diseases like cancer, just as you're talking about, most of them just have never been educated on nutrition, on, you know, a holistic approach on causation of cancer, on what cancer actually is. They look at it as an invading enemy and they have to take it out of you. They have to cut it out. They have to burn it, radiate it, kill it, not realizing, let's say you have a tumor, for example, that tumor could actually be saving your life, prolonging your life. It's not necessarily about getting that out of you. It's reducing the causes that are leading to the cancer in the first place, eliminating those causes and then implementing solutions. As I know, you know, you're going to talk a lot more about that lead to a healthy, fully functioning body and immune system that gets rid of the cancer by itself, right?
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, that's the adult perspective. That's the sophisticated, open-minded perspective. But the problem that exists in the education and the professional career of doctors, especially MDs, the education, the medical education of an allopathic doctor is such a meat grinder that when students come out of that meat grinder and they enter into their professional life, they are of the opinion that if they weren't taught it in medical school, it simply isn't valid. It's an extremely closed-minded way of looking at the world. And that's the intention of the educational process. It's the intention of any doctoral degree granting process is to get the people who have the degree, who secure the degree, to think alike, to think inside of these parameters. And if you go outside of the parameters, well, that's, you know, that's verboten. That's not a good idea. So what myself and my colleagues have experienced for decades now is an extreme amount of cognitive dissonance. And I can't tell you how many times we've all treated patients who were suffering with a chronic disease, maybe cancer, maybe arthritis, maybe high blood pressure, something that conventional medicine has failed. The conventional medicine treatment strategy has failed them. And so as a last resort, which is regretfully what happens most in the United States, people come to our offices. And then we get people on a health recovery program, and more often than not, they recover their health and the chronic health condition disappears. And then they'll go back to their medical doctor who had been treating them unsuccessfully for 5-10 years. They're completely better now. And the medical doctor doesn't want to know what they did to get on the other side of their health. Doesn't want to call me up, doesn't want to call my colleagues up, say, oh my God, I can't believe it. This person had high blood pressure that was out of control. You know, I tried to fix it for 5 years and you took care of it in 3 months. What'd you do? You would think that would be, you know, the human thing to do. But the 1 billion pound gorilla is sitting on the middle of planet Earth right now, that what we all need to become aware of right now is that most medical doctors, there are exceptions to this rule, but most medical doctors have so much cognitive dissonance that even when their therapeutics fail, even when their therapeutics harm, even when their therapeutics bankrupt their patients, instead of looking in the mirror and dissecting their own therapeutics for looking for something better to do, maybe we're on the wrong road here. Cognitive dissonance disallows that, and they continue to plod forward with expensive, ineffective treatments. And this is the biggest problem. When you marry cognitive dissonance with a 108-year-old medical monopoly, it's a recipe for disaster. And that's why we have such horrible outcomes with cancer.
You know, and I want to add one piece to that, that you just so, you know, eloquently spoke about, is that tiny, tiny percent of medical doctors that do start questioning the results of their therapies, that do actually reach out to a naturopath and say, hey, what'd you do? I couldn't do anything for my patient, that do actually start researching. Then those are the medical doctors you find on this symposium, many whom I've interviewed, who have gone into and opened an integrative clinic where they are implementing naturopathic medicine. They're implementing some of the best, small, but best aspects of allopathic medicine. They're implementing Ayurveda. They're implementing all these other modalities that they find are actually working better for their patients than just the typical allopathic approach, especially when dealing with chronic disease. And those are the ones, you know, they're a tiny, tiny percent, but we need more of them waking up, asking these questions, and then going into more of an integrative approach because they're getting such better results for their patients.
Well, I agree with you halfway, right? But I would argue that that's not what we need, that what we need, because there are thousands of naturopathic professionals, homeopathic professionals, Ayurvedic professionals all around the world. All we need is a seat at the table.
Yeah.
What's necessary here is not to train more medical doctors in how to use naturopathic therapeutics in their clinic. What we need is a free medical market. I mean, people would not be okay if in the United States of America, the only people that could sell cars was Ford Motor Company. People would not be okay with that. The only people that can sell beer is Budweiser. People would not be okay with that because that's a monopoly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Just look at what happened to AT&T. So this is the most important thing that I can communicate here. And whether we're talking about cancer or anything else, inside of a free medical market, the public gravitates towards what works because it's a free medical market. We haven't had a free medical market. You know, in order to become a licensed naturopathic doctor in the US, it's 4 years pre-med, the same requirements as MDs have, 4 years of a naturopathic medical school, fully accredited by the United States Department of Education, same hours of anatomy and physiology and histopathology and the diagnosis of disease that MDs get. Continuing education credits are the same, have to pass national boards, have to pass state boards. It's full-blown primary care, licensed and regulated medicine, but it's only legal. It's only legal in 22 states in the United States.
Wow.
What does that mean, that the laws of nature or science change when you cross a state line? No. It's a turf war.
Political.
It's follow the money, baby. It's got nothing to do with anything other than maintaining the power grab. And this is the most important thing because, you know, Ayurvedic doctors have a very unique and successful understanding and methodology of treatment for cancer. Homeopathic doctors have a very interesting, sophisticated, and effective understanding and treatment of cancer. Naturopathic doctors have a very interesting, effective philosophy, understanding, strategy, and treatment of cancer. They're all slightly different. They all work, but people don't have access to them. Insurance doesn't cover it, especially in Canada, for goodness sakes, or in nations with socialized medicine. You can see a naturopathic doctor, for instance, in Canada, but your Health Canada insurance doesn't pay for it. So when people want to find a holistic practitioner that's licensed and regulated, that actually knows what they're doing, either they can't afford it or it's illegal. And that's what needs to change. For instance, most people are completely unaware that in the United States of America, the only thing that can legally treat a disease is a drug, which is crazy, which is why when you go to a health food store and you read on the supplement, it will say bone and joint health instead of arthritis. It will say blood sugar support instead of type 2 diabetes. Why? Because it's illegal in the United States for anything but a drug to treat a disease. Well, who made that law? Well, the AMA passed that law. The AMA was responsible for that. They glad-handed Congress with the help of the Carnegies and the Rockefellers 108 years ago. Well, should that still be in place? No, it shouldn't be. It's egregious that laws like this are still in place. And I cannot emphasize this point enough. And I sound like I'm beating an old horse, but remember, beating a dead horse. I'm a holist. So I like to get to the root cause of all things. If you want to increase your chances of recovering from cancer or not getting cancer in the first place or recovering from it, then we need a free medical market.
Let me ask
we don't need more MDs practicing integrative medicine. I mean, that would be great, but we need equal access to all licensed and regulated science-based clinically verified forms of medicine. And that has been absent for 108 years.
I'm sure we could do a whole other interview just on this subject, and maybe we could, but for the sake of time, for people who are tuning in that are totally resonating with exactly what you're saying, what are some action steps people could actually take to help support this vision and implementation of naturopathic doctors and other holistic doctors and so forth actually having a seat at the table? Like, can people actually do anything, or are we just doomed?
On my website, riseupintohealth.com, there's a section called political action. And we have a proposal now for the government. It's called a demand for Make America Healthy Again. It's a demand for a free medical market. The intention here is to encourage the government to create a federal department of holistic medicine, which would oversee the vitamin industry, the botanical medicine industry, the nutritional supplement industry, and regulate the practice of alternative to allopathic forms of medicine in this country. Because right now, the pharmaceutical industry controls the Food and Drug Administration, which has leverage and oversight on the nutritional supplement industry. You've got doctors who have no clinical experience, no appreciation, no respect for medical nutrition and botanical medicine and homeopathy regulating those industries. And again, this is, you know, a disaster waiting to happen. So in keeping with our call for a free medical market, people can fill out the form at Rise Up Into Health, get in touch with your congressman, get in touch with your senator, do a letter writing campaign, and encourage them to take action to do this. Because if this could happen in our lifetime, it would change everything. Because in a free medical market, people go to what works. And when it comes to cancer treatment, naturopathic therapeutics, homeopathic therapeutics, Ayurvedic therapeutics are extremely effective. And in a free medical market, it would be the first thing that people would do instead of the last.
I love that. Literally, the moment we finish this, I'm going to go to riseupandhealth.com and fill that out. So thank you for that and putting that resource together. Speaking of, so naturopathic medicine in terms of treating chronic diseases like cancer, what does that approach look like? What are some of the things you're looking for? What are some of the things that people can learn about and understand, you know, okay, I have cancer and I'm considering a more naturopathic approach. What are the things that they're going to be introduced to and what are effective?
Well, in the wonderful world of naturopathic medicine, the discipline which is most effective in the treatment of cancer is called homeopathy. And homeopathy is one of the most misunderstood medical modalities in the world. It always has been. Homeopathy stands in direct opposition to the pharmaceutical worldview. Homeopathic medicine delivers extremely inexpensive medicines, which are safe and gentle on the body in order to elicit a healing response from the body. And homeopathic doctors historically and in the present day have had remarkable clinical success in the treatment of cancer, you know, in all chronic diseases. But here's the rub, right? Here's what's necessary. The basic fundamental difference here between the MD approach and every other holistic medical approach is the MDs believe that cancer is a foreign invader to the body, which must be destroyed, right? In order to help somebody get on the other side of cancer, the cancer has to be burned with radiation. It has to be dissolved with chemicals like chemotherapy, or it has to be surgically removed. That's it. When you do that, simply try to destroy the tumor. You do not get to the root cause of why the tumor was there in the first place. And then the tumor comes back with a vengeance. And that's what kills cancer patients, is the return of the tumor after conventional medical treatment. And see, this is a big problem because conventional medical doctors are not trained in how to even attempt to see what it was in the organism that gave the tumor the opportunity to be there in the first place. And holistic doctors attend to those details. And holistic doctors, naturopathic doctors, will deliver therapeutics, change of diet, vitamin supplementation, botanical medicine, the use of therapeutic use of botanical medicines in medicinal doses, the use of homeopathic strategies over a number of months. The intention of all of these treatments is to stimulate your body's built-in God-given ability to fix itself. And you know, the basic take-home message here is you cannot poison your way to health. And again, thank God for insulin, thank God for lidocaine, thank God for the sterile technique. But when it comes to cancer, surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy all fail, and they fail tremendously because none of those therapeutics attempt to get to the root cause of the problem, nor stimulate the body's ability to make itself healthy. And this is the biggest difference. And I know I'm speaking in broad brush terms here. Naturopathic therapeutics, which use diet therapy, stop eating foods. You wouldn't put diesel fuel into an unleaded engine. That's probably a bad idea. You got to stop putting foods into the human body, which are gumming up the works. You have to provide the body with the raw materials that it needs in order to fix itself. Most of the raw materials that the body needs to fix itself are not present in the food. And because of modern agricultural methods, they're getting less and less and less concentrated. The nutrients, the minerals that the body needs to fix itself, they're just not present in the food like they used to be. So you have to put those back. And then you have to deliver therapeutics, botanical medicine therapeutics, acupuncture therapeutics, Ayurvedic therapeutics, homeopathic therapeutics, which have been historically shown to be effective in the treatment of cancer, in the mitigation of cancer, you know, with science-based, clinically verified, findings. So this is what you would expect. It's a comprehensive haul over of the human body. You have to change the way that you eat. Often you have to change the way that you breathe. You have to commit to taking a round of nutritional supplements and doing the therapeutics. And the biggest thing to understand with helping the body to heal from cancer inside of a naturopathic therapeutic paradigm is that it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. You know, we've been so socialized to believe in fast everything here in the United States, right? It's fast everything, especially with the, you know, with the use of cell phones now. You can look anything up on Google in 2 seconds. But that's not the way healing is. Healing is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It takes time. You have to dedicate yourself to the healing therapeutic and work very closely with your practitioner. And the last thing that I want to say here, I have developed 13 questions, and this information is free on my website, Rise Up Into Health. 13 questions that every cancer patient needs to ask their practitioner, whether they be an MD or a naturopathic doctor or Ayurvedic practitioner, it doesn't matter. You need to ask these questions in the presence of a witness and a recording device and choose whether or not you're going to work with that doctor based on the answers that they give. And I am of the opinion, if every cancer patient in the United States asked these questions to their oncologist, and the oncologist actually answered these questions, and very few people would agree to do the therapeutics that the medical doctors are advocating. I mean, the first question is, does this treatment cure my cancer? That's a pretty good question. There are 12 other questions that people need to ask, but again, you know, we've come full circle. Because of the monopoly, people are intimidated by their doctor. They'll go into a hospital surrounded by millions of dollars of technology and all these people walking around, all saying the same thing. It's easy to be swept up into that and to feel intellectually inferior. Most people are forced into cancer treatment. They don't accept it. They don't know about it. They don't know what they're getting into. They haven't been informed because that's not the conventional medical method. The less the patient knows, the better is the conventional medical method. So really, we need to empower ourselves. People need to understand that there do exist right now science-based, clinically verified alternatives to conventional medical treatment for cancer, which are effective. You need to empower yourself. Ask the questions in a straightforward, polite manner, and then you should be able to judge for yourself by the way that the doctor answers those questions, whether you're going to go down that road or not.
I think that's a perfect place to kind of finalize here. I mean, really being empowered as a patient is, and empowering yourself through education, through knowledge, through support, through consulting with other experts like yourself and others in different fields. It's something I always recommend to people is build your healing team, you know, get multiple opinions, talk with different experts from different fields, listen to all these interviews, go to riseupintohealth.com, learn more there. The more you educate yourself, the more you'll feel empowered when it comes to, you know, being in a doctor's office and being willing and capable and strong enough to ask these kinds of questions and then finding the healing path that is best for you. So I just want to say, Dr. Glidden, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Thank you for the great work you do. Thank you for, you know, your decades of pioneering in this field and continue to educate like you do. So I just appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, right back at you, Nathan. Keep up the good work, because what you're doing, I think, is a lot more important than you know that it is. So I appreciate the time very much.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in here to the Global Cancer Symposium. Make sure to share this with anyone who needs to hear this life-changing information. Also visit riseupintohealth.com. glidden.com. You can learn more about how you can benefit from Dr. Glidden's 30 plus years of clinical experience. And go check out thehealthandhealingclub.com. You can join the global membership dedicated to helping you get and stay healthy. Again, I'm Nathan Crane. I wish you all ultimate health and happiness. Take care.